Now, we are kind of in the middle of the story here today. Okay, we sort of started this story last week. You will notice that the slide said Luke 1 or Luke 14:1. That's because the story actually begins there and it runs all the way through this week. So we started last week, but in order, I know some of you weren't here last week. You may not know what happens in the first part of Luke 14. So let me just sort of catch you up a little bit. Okay. On the day in question, about which this passage from the Bible speaks, Jesus was at the home of a prominent Pharisee for Sabbath lunch. Nice thought. As the events unfolded on that day, Jesus deliberately, and I want to emphasize the word deliberately, fell into the trap set by the Pharisees to prove to everybody that he was a fraud. He wasn't tricked. He stepped right into it, okay? He healed a man right there in the guy's house on the Sabbath day, showing his total disregard for the authority of the Pharisees because they had warned him to knock it off and to stop healing people on the Sabbath day. When he did it, they were convinced. They now knew beyond any shadow of doubt that Jesus was indeed a fraud. They now knew that it was up to them to show him for what he was publicly, no matter what it might cost. That settled. They moved on to dinner. For after all, that's what they came for. Lunch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as they moved into the dining room, they exposed to Jesus and to each other their terribly bad manners. Honestly, it was a horrid display. If you want to read it for yourself, go to Luke chapter 14, 7 to 11. They pushed, they shoved, they tried to get the best seats at the table. They were doing everything they could to be at the head of the table near the prominent man who invited him to their house. And Jesus said to the host, "You invited the right people to the feast. But they are, in essence, the wrong people." If you want to understand that, you need to go back and read Luke chapter 12, or 14, verses 12 to 14. In short, in a really short time, like in no time at all, few minutes, Jesus managed to offend everybody in the place. The whole house was upset with Jesus. He had literally set their teeth on edge. Some people just have the knack for it. And when he was, I know you do, and when he was with the Pharisees, Jesus was really good at ticking people off. And so one of those who was sitting near Jesus at the table, who could keep still no longer, looked Jesus in the face, I suspect pointed his finger at him, and he said to Jesus with a snarl, "Blessed is the man who will sit at the feast in the kingdom of God." Only he probably said, "God." Mm-hmm. Now, just a couple of things. You need to know this in order to understand the remark. The man who made it believed that he would eat the feast in the kingdom of God. See, he had all the right credentials to be present at the feast in the kingdom of God in his own mind. He was a Jew. And better than that, he was a Jew of the Jews, for he was a Pharisee. He kept all the law of Moses. He respected the authority of men like the prominent Pharisee in whose house he had met that day for lunch. And he was bold enough, if you will, to stand up in Jesus' face and to confront Jesus for the fraud he knew Jesus to be. He believed that he would eat the feast in the kingdom of God, and he knew that Jesus would not. He believed that Jesus would not be at that feast. He was sincere in his belief that Jesus was a fraud. Jesus was none of the things that he was. Jesus lacked every necessary credential to enter the kingdom of God according to his understanding of what it took to get into the kingdom of God. In his eyes, Jesus would not be receiving an invitation to the great banquet in the kingdom of God, and he, that man, knew it. This man spoke to our Lord not out of respect. He spoke to expose Jesus to the truth and to put Jesus in his place. His motives were entirely wrong. So Jesus, as he was so oft wont to do, told the company another little story. In Jesus' story, a certain man gave a great banquet. Okay, for the record, a great banquet is a really big party. Okay? All right. Okay. To which he invited many guests. It was a really big party. And they all agreed to come. Every person to a man who he invited formally accepted the invitation to the party. You know the little RSV card in the invitation? They all sent it back saying, be there with bells on. They obligated themselves to attend the really big party. And when the day came, the host sent out his servant to summon the guest. Now, this sounds strange to us. Why did he send out? But that was the custom of the time. When everything was ready and it was time to come, a reminder was sent. A servant came, knocked on your door, said, party's starting. Get over there. Okay? That's what he did. He sent out the word for the guest to come. And every guest, to a person, every guest had an excuse. Now, what you need to understand about the excuses is that every one of them was a legitimate excuse in the mind of the person who made it. One had to go make settlement on some property that he had bought. Another had purchased some oxen and had to take delivery of them. And a third was still on his honeymoon. In the mind of those making the excuses, every excuse was valid. And every person who had obligated themselves to come by accepting the invitation turned the host down with a valid excuse for not coming to the party in their own mind. Okay? Now, it's important to catch this. You cannot let this slide. They're not just passing the guy off. They're just not, you know, don't want to go today. They have what they consider to be valid reasons for not coming. And to be really honest, if you look at their excuses, you kind of say to yourself, don't you? I get it. It's valid. I mean, if you're on your honeymoon, come on. And when the servant brought the news of the rejections back to his master, the scripture says, the man giving the party was highly insulted. Now, you can understand that too, can't you? Put yourself in his place. I mean, you expected them all to come. They all said they would come. You planned for them all to come. You made all the preparations for all of them to be there. You spent the dollars it took to get ready to entertain them. You can understand why he would be insulted by being turned down at the last minute. It is, by the way, just for the record, bad manners. So he told his servant to go out and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame to come to his table. Now, none of these were the guest that he wanted to come. None of them were the people that he had originally invited. They are the people that never get invited. because nobody really wants them around. That's who they were. But they are those that Jesus told the host at the party he was attending on that Sabbath day, they are the ones that he told his host should have been invited to the party where he was that very day. Go back to Luke chapter 14 and read verses 12 and 14. He said to the guy, you invited the right people, but they're the wrong people. And the ones you should have invited who appear to you to be the wrong people are in essence the right people. That's what Jesus said. These, the poor, the blind, the lame, were the ones nobody ever invites to their party. But they are the ones this man invited, because all the ones he originally chose rejected him. And the new ones who he invited came. See, they were so honored to be given an invitation that they dropped everything that they were doing. They let it all go and came to the feast. But when he looked into the banquet hall, there were still seats at the table. See, it was a really big party. So the man issued a general invitation. Whoever wants to come to the party was invited to come. And the text says that many came, so that the table of the host was filled. And everybody at the party had a really good time. It was not only a big party, it was one wonderful party. But the man, the host, said, not one who was invited will get a bite of my feast. Not one. For the right people were the wrong people. And the wrong people were the right people. Jesus was telling the Pharisees not to count on a place at the table in the great banquet in the kingdom of God, because they were all too occupied with other things to bother to come when God sent out word and said that the feast was ready. And that's the warning. To us, that's the warning. Don't be so preoccupied with all the junk of this life that when the call comes to the great banquet in the feast in the kingdom of God, you're too preoccupied to come. Now, folks, over the next several weeks, as we make our way through this study of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is going to make the same point over and over and over again. When Jesus makes a point once, it's important. When Jesus makes the point over and over again, we need to pay attention. So if you are here today and you know that your life is crowded with all kinds of junk, so that you are too busy by the stuff of life, too busy when the call comes to the banquet in heaven, so busy that you will not be ready to go, clear it out now. If you know in your heart that you would say to God, were he to call you now, I have married a wife, I have bought me a cow, the stuff will call out to you louder than will the voice of God. So today, I beg you, hear the call of God. He is speaking your name. Through the Holy Spirit, his servant, the invitation has been sent to you. And he is saying, come to my really big party. I urge you, accept God's invitation. Obligate yourself to him and live your life so that you are ready for the moment. The moment when the servant says, it's time, come. And when he calls your name, drop everything and go. Because God is calling you to the feast in the kingdom of heaven.